Today is the 12th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Great to be here with you today. Today and every day, stretching back into the past for 20 years. Grateful to be here. Stretching into the future, as long as the Lord will allow. But every day, grateful to be here with you, to spend some time in a safe place that I need, that we all need, and that we create for each other every single day. So, we've come to take the next step forward. I'm grateful that we can. We're working our way through the book of Isaiah at this point. And today our steps will take us, well, two chapters. Two steps, Isaiah chapters 10 and 11. What sorrow awaits the unjust judges and those who issue unfair laws? They deprive the poor of justice and deny the rights of the needy among my people. They prey on widows and take advantage of orphans. What will you do when I punish you? When I send disaster upon you from a distant land? To whom will you turn for help? Where will your treasures be safe? You will stumble along as prisoners or lie among the dead. But even then, the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. What sorrow awaits Assyria, the rod of my anger? I use it as a club to express my anger. I am sending Assyria against a godless nation, against a people with whom I am angry. Assyria will plunder them, trampling them like dirt beneath its feet. But the king of Assyria will not understand that he is my tool. His mind does not work that way. His plan is simply to destroy, to cut down nation after nation. He will say, "Each of my princes will soon be a king. We destroyed Calno just as we did Carchemish. Hamath fell before us as Arpad did. And we destroyed Samaria, just as we did Damascus. Yes, we have finished off many a kingdom whose gods were greater than those in Jerusalem and Samaria. So we will defeat Jerusalem and her gods, just as we destroyed Samaria with hers." After the Lord has used the king of Assyria to accomplish his purposes on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, he will turn against the king of Assyria and punish him, for he is proud and arrogant. He boasts, "By my own powerful arm I have done this. With my own shrewd wisdom I planned it. I have broken down the defenses of nations and carried off their treasures. I have knocked down their kings like a bull. I have robbed their nests of riches and gathered up kingdoms as a farmer gathers eggs. No one can even flap a wing against me or utter a peep of protest. But can the axe boast greater power than the person who uses it? Is the saw greater than the person who saws? Can a rod strike unless a hand moves it? Can a wooden cane walk by itself? Therefore the Lord of heaven's armies, will send a plague among Assyria's proud troops, and a flaming fire will consume its glory. The Lord, the light of Israel, will be a fire. The Holy One will be a flame. He will devour the thorns and briars with fire, burning up the enemy in a single night. The Lord will consume Assyria's glory like a fire consumes a forest in a fruitful land. It will waste away like sick people in a plague. Of all that glorious forest, only a few trees will survive, so few that a child could count them. In that day, the remnant left in Israel, the survivors in the house of Jacob, will no longer depend on allies who seek to destroy them, but they will faithfully trust the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. Yes, the remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. But though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sand of the seashore, only a remnant of them will return. The Lord has rightly decided to destroy his people. Yes, the Lord of heaven's armies, has already decided to destroy the entire land. So this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, says. Oh, my people in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians when they oppress you with rod and club, as the Egyptians did long ago. In a little while, my anger against you will end, and then my anger will rise up to destroy them. The Lord of heaven's armies will lash them with his whip, as he did when Gideon triumphed over the Midianites at the rock of Oreb, or when the Lord's staff was raised to drown the Egyptian army in the sea. And that day, the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders. Look, the Assyrians are now at Ayat. They are passing through Migron and are storing their equipment at Michmash. They are crossing the pass and are camping at Geba. Fear strikes the town of Ramah. All the people of Gibeah, the hometown of Saul, are running for their lives. Scream in terror, you people of Galim. Shout out a warning to Laisha. Oh, poor Anatoth. There go the people of Madmina, all fleeing. The citizens of Gebim are trying to hide. The enemy stops at Nob for the rest of that day. He shakes his fist at beautiful Mount Zion, the mountain of Jerusalem. But look, the Lord of heaven's armies will chop down the mighty tree of Assyria with great power. He will cut down the proud. That lofty tree will be brought down. He will cut down the forest trees with an axe. Lebanon will fall to the mighty one. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old roots. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nation will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people, those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt, in southern Egypt, Ethiopia and Elam, in Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. Then, at last, the jealousy between Israel and Judah will end. They will not be rivals anymore. They will join forces to swoop down on Philistia to the west. Together, they will attack and plunder the nations to the east. They will occupy the lands of Edom and Moab, and Ammon will obey them. The Lord will make a dry path through the Gulf of the Red Sea. He will wave his hand over the Euphrates River, sending a mighty wind to divide it into seven streams, so it can easily be crossed on foot. He will make a highway for the remnant of his people, the remnant coming from Assyria, just as he did for Israel long ago, when they returned from Egypt. Second Corinthians 12, 11 through 21. You have made me act like a fool. You ought to be writing commendations for me, for I am not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing at all. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I failed to do, which I do in the other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. Some of you admit I was not a burden to you, but others still think I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how? Did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you and sent our other brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? No, for we have the same spirit and walk in each other's steps, doing things the same way. Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No. We tell you this as Christ's servants and with God as our witness. Everything we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you. For I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find and you won't like my response. I am afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure. Psalm 56. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time the Philistines seized him in Gath, to be sung to the tune Dove on Distant Oaks. Oh God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know. God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Proverbs 23:6-8. Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. You will throw up what little you've eaten, and your compliments will be wasted. Okay, so Isaiah. When we kind of first launched into the book of Isaiah, one of the things that we pointed out and observed and are observing is that Isaiah is one of the most quoted Old Testament books that we find in the New Testament. And that is quite a bit because Isaiah gives all these clear promises of a coming deliverer, which is one of the ways that the Jewish people believed that a Messiah would come. So the writers of the New Testament are intending to reveal Jesus as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies, the promised Savior, the promised Messiah, in part by showing the ways that Jesus fulfills these prophecies, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. But when we read them, like we might wonder, like, how are the connections actually made? What put Jesus on the list of contenders to be this foretold anointed one? And some of that comes pretty clear today in our reading. So we're reading, beginning with chapter 10 today. And Isaiah says, that sorrow awaits the unjust judges and those who issue unfair laws because they deprive the poor of justice and deny the rights of the needy among my people. They prey on widows and take advantage of orphans. It's not like that kind of pattern doesn't still exist in the world today, but that prophetic utterance was naming a pattern that was happening before Isaiah and continued through Isaiah's time and would continue long after Isaiah's time. Like I said, we could easily say that those kinds of issues are all throughout humanity today. But the hope that's found in the prophetic writings was that one day there would be a resolution. There would be a redeemer that would come and be able to make things right again. And then next, as we're reading along in Isaiah, the Assyrian invasion of the northern kingdom was foretold, which would indeed carry away 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel into exile. And we've read all of that. And they did become conquered by the Assyrians and were carried away, and they've never been seen again. Like, until today, they disappeared from history. They were assimilated into Assyria. But that the Assyrian Empire would then come and threaten Jerusalem. So we read all this in Kings and Chronicles, so we know that it happened, we know what happened. And we also know that the Babylonian Empire then subsequently came later and destroyed the southern kingdom of Judah. But Isaiah is speaking into these, like, he's speaking into the future at his time, that these things are going to happen. But he's also speaking hope into these times that are going to happen. So we read them from the past, like they're the past now, but as Isaiah's saying them, he's breathing hope into the future. He says in that day, like when all this happens, there will be a remnant left in Israel. There will be survivors in the house of Jacob, and they won't depend on allies who are ultimately going to betray and destroy them. They will faithfully trust the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. The remnant of Jacob will return to God. So the Jewish people in the first century, long after Isaiah, in the time of Jesus, were actually the fulfillment of that. They were the descendants of that foretold remnant that would return. And so they were the fulfillment of that prophecy. Through them, it was a reality. The problem was that they were back in their ancestral homeland, but it was not their land. So they were there, but they did not rule or govern it in any way. It had been passed around quite a bit. At the time of Jesus, that land was part of the Roman Empire and was controlled and governed by Rome. It was considered a province of the empire, the province of Syria. And they were experiencing all the oppression and injustice that Isaiah had written about. So they are this living, breathing fulfillment of prophecy as this returning remnant, but they are also this living, breathing fulfillment of prophecy as those who are oppressed unjustly. And so they were in a position of actually crying out to God, longing for restoration, for a full and complete fulfillment of what God promised. So when we look at Isaiah's prophecies and see that they're kind of coming from this perspective, we can see why people much later in the time of Jesus, centuries later, why they were looking for and expecting that one day God would send a redeemer and what that person would be like. So how they could be on the lookout for him. And Isaiah says, this is what it will look like. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, a new branch bearing fruit from the old roots. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance. He will not make decisions based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. And the earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. So in the first century, the Hebrew people feel like the oppressed, the unjust, the marginalized, because they are. And they can look back to Isaiah for criteria that they are looking for to understand when God might be restoring them and what they should be looking for. And so we see why people could see in Jesus this coming foretold anointed one, because he fit this criteria. Whether or not he was actually a foretold Messiah, that was something that the people were debating among themselves throughout his entire ministry. The reason that they would be having those kinds of debates at all was because they were expecting a coming anointed one. Those prophecies from Isaiah were known. They were embedded into the culture, into the Hebrew culture. So people knew one day, sooner or later, God would show up in this way. So later, these New Testament writers will use the Old Testament prophets to reveal what most people missed in all of their debating, that the Redeemer did come, and then God's work of restoring all things was fully on display in Jesus. It just looked counterintuitively different than what they were expecting. So this is one of the ways that that Isaiah ends up getting quoted in the New Testament and attached to Jesus, because they were expecting a Messiah to come. And the New Testament writers, and obviously this is the center of our faith, were showing and revealing that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. Father, we thank you for your word. Another day, another opportunity to look at all the different nuances, all the different facets. In any given week, so many different things get touched. Yesterday, we are being touched in the core of our emotional life, learning that collaborating by casting our care, like to share our burden and let go of our expectations and allow you to care for us, like that touches us where we live at the core of our emotional life and pain. And here today, we're able to look at how it was that these ancient prophecies were being looked at and how you fulfilled them. So many nuances, day by day, step by step, everything gets touched. And so we thank you for your word. We ask you to plant it deep in our lives. Holy Spirit, you are always leading us into all truth, we ask for help in paying attention to where you are leading and the willingness to live in the light. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. And before this 28th year gets out, it is our, like, we are pushing for this brand new app and platform that's been years in development. Such an overwhelming project that I just don't even know where to start, but years in the making. That'll be coming soon, before this year is out. But right now, we are where we are. And though the app and the website are home base, that's where you can find out what's going on. And as we continue through our 20th year together, it's the breathing prayer right now. We've released, just a little over a week ago, our very first ever children's book. A collaboration between my wife, myself, and our son Ezekiel. This little story that comes out of his own life. And a little practice that goes a long way. A little prayer for big feelings. Feelings of being overwhelmed. Feelings of overwhelming anxiety. Feelings of confusion and disruption and dysregulation. Feelings of depression, feelings that we human beings encounter. And we can suppress or run from or push away or cope in all kinds of very, very unhealthy ways. Or we can lean in and get grounded and try to get centered and invite God. And this little children's book has a little message in it that is not like age specific. What a beautiful practice that we are, like, we're hearing now from so many people who are putting this into practice in their children's life. Man, to do that as a way that follows them through their lives is a profound gift, because it is a profound thing to get present. Like, we are so anxious for the future or so regretful of the past. And I am all of that in spades. I am all of that in spades. But to get present in the present moment, from being overwhelmed by the past or being overwhelmed by the future, is important. And just getting in touch with our breath is one of the key ways we can begin a process of, like, regulating our own nervous systems, just paying attention to our breath. That is something that's actually happening right now. And inviting Jesus into it, yeah, then we have got ourselves centered and grounded again. It's not like a magic thing, some kind of magic mantra, magic potion, magic words. It's just kind of get present and get out of the past or get out of the future, get present and invite God into the present moment. And so that is important for young or old, because although this came out of Ezekiel's life, this is a prayer I have prayed thousands of times. And so the breathing prayer is available in the Daily Audio Bible shop or on the app. In the Daily Audio Bible shop. So on the web or in the app, you can find the shop and you'll find the breathing prayer. Check that out. Make that a part of the practice of your life. Have that little tiny tool that is so powerful, such a powerful little tool for our lives. And thanks for checking it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what's happening here around the global campfire is life-giving, meaningful to you, thank you for throwing a log or a twig or a few logs onto the fire and keeping it burning as we continue to show up together each and every day. With a deep, deep, deep heart of gratitude and the complete awareness that we would not be here if we were not in this together. So thank you that we are. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada. God's Yellow Flower calling, and a lady phoned in, and she was wanted prayer for her son's marriage that is affecting the children as well. I pray for all marriages as well. So, God, I just... You instituted marriage, Lord. You instituted marriage. And I firmly believe that when a marriage is having trouble, it's because they've taken their eyes off of you and put their eyes on their own selves and their own needs instead of serving you and serving the spouse. And Lord, I pray that you would refocus this couple's eyes on each other. You first and then each other, so that their marriage can soar to the heavenly heights and reflect the glory of your love on the earth. Lord God, marriage is a beautiful, beautiful thing when you are in the midst of it. And we pray for all marriages that you would be the glue that holds them together, that you would, there is no marriage without you. We just ask, Lord God, that you help people see, spouses see the truth about marriage. Yeah, there's difficult times because, you know, we are human beings and we ask you to forgive us when we err. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, Dabbers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made in Winchester, Virginia. And I just want to say a big thank you to Brian, Jill, and Ezekiel for the breathing prayer. I just got my copy, and wow, is it just truly amazing. It is so beautifully illustrated. It is so beautifully written. It is just so special, and I am going to keep this displayed on my coffee table in my family room so that guests, visitors are able to see what a beautiful, beautiful just example of prayer just displayed so beautifully. Thank you so much. And I just want to say a blessing to all of the Dabbers. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would just bless each and every Dabber that is listening today, that you would bring healing to those that are sick, that you would bring wisdom to each and every one of us to face each day boldly, knowing that you have got everything in our life. I want to say a precious, special prayer for my sister Terry and her husband Donald, as I know that he is still battling illness with diabetes. I just lift both of them up in prayer, dear Lord. I just ask that you would bring healing to each and every one of my family members. And I just love you. I praise you. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you that you have plans for us exceedingly abundantly above what we can imagine, plans for good that will give us a future and a hope. We praise you and thank you that this is your will for us. Father, we know you want to prosper and bless us in every way possible, and we desire to fully put our trust in you and relinquish our will for yours. We repent for holding onto aspects of our lives that we are afraid to let go of. We confess that we have been stubborn in holding on to our own thoughts and ideas or the way we think you should work in our lives. We purpose in our hearts and before you to shed every part of our own will for your will. We commit to being completely open to your correction. We commit to make changes in our hearts and minds that will pave the way for the victory you want for us. We will have faith and walk through every door you open. We will remove wrong thinking when you reveal it to us, and we will listen to you through prayer and your word. We submit our will to your will in Jesus' name, and we thank you that your plans for us are beyond our imaginations. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon, and I heard Shantae from Florida calling in. You know, so I'm listening to the 16th of August still, so I know that time has come and gone to say goodbye to your son who is moving across the country to California to go to college, and just what an exciting time, and oh, bittersweet for sure, sister. Let's pray for your son. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your deep, deep love for us, for our kids. Lord, thank you that you've got this young man right in the palm of your hand, right where he needs to be. God, thank you that you knew this is exactly where he was going to go to college, that he was going to be moving away from his family. Lord, we pray for provision of people that will consistently and faithfully cross his path who love you and who will lovingly and gently guide him and lead him toward you. God, that he wouldn't be able to get away from you no matter how hard he tries, and hopefully he doesn't. Lord, I pray for your faithful and steady presence in his life, Lord, that he would know you better when he comes home for his first holiday at home than when he left. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Would you still the hearts of his parents and younger siblings left at home as he leaves, God? We thank you so much for caring for us in the ways that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, my delightful dabbers. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels on September 6th. We have some prayer requests to lift up. Lori called in from North Dakota regarding her sister, Diane, with something going on in her brain in the hospital. And another woman called in regarding her son, who is in a marriage, but they are not getting along, and it is affecting their lives, their marriage, and their two children. So let's go before our beautiful, beautiful Heavenly Father with these requests. Lord God, you are awesome and almighty God. Yahweh, there is no other God but you. Hallowed be your beautiful name. You are holy and righteous, Father God. You are just and merciful. You are slow to anger and abundant in love and faithfulness, Father God. And we just know this extends throughout the generations, and we're so grateful, Father. Father, we lift up Lori's sister, Diane, to you. Father God, her voice broke as she just ask for prayer for her sister who has something going on in her brain and is in the hospital. The doctors don't know, and she is praying that these doctors would have wisdom and understanding of what's going on with her sister's brain and the way to treat it. We pray, Father God, that you would heal her sister supernaturally, Father, if this is your will, all for your glory, God, and that she would give you glory with everything that she has left in her life, Father God. Heavenly Father, we lift up this marriage to you of this couple, Father God, that is not getting along. They are both saved, Father, yet they are not treating each other like how Jesus loved the church, Father, as a husband should treat a wife and a wife should treat a husband, and love them, love each other, and love God above all, Father. So we pray that you would restore their marriage, bring them into agreement again, and allow them to love each other as they once did, Father God. And may you get the glory, Father, in Jesus' name.
Good morning, DAP family. This is Peaceful in Pennsylvania. I want to pray for Eddie C. in South Carolina. Eddie, I know that the walk you're walking is hard for you right now. I am going to pray for you, but I suggest that you find a godly church and get a part of it, especially a men's group that would be able to give you fellowship, comfort, and instruction. So let's go to the throne room of grace. Father, I thank you, God, for Eddie. You have called him. He is your son. Whether he's good or not good, he's your son. I come against the power of the enemy that is tempting him. I come against that loneliness and despair that he is facing. Father, send Christian men to be friends with him today, Lord. Protect him and keep him safe. We put a hedge of protection around his mind. Lord, help him to be strong and resist. Lord, but of all, help him to feel your presence. Know you're there. You love Eddie C. and you have called him according to your purposes. Eddie, we are praying for you. Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.